This morning there will be two scripture readings. The first will be from Hebrews 12, verse 14, from the New King James Version. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. The second scripture reading this morning will be from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace.
We are eternally grateful again for the opportunity we have to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests. We're thankful for you being here, of course. We have been talking about the family all month, in the month of November, and usually Brother Leon will be preaching on today, but we gave him other things that we wanted him to do and gave us an opportunity as shepherds to actually approach the congregation concerning the family, concerning the home. And so I believe next week Brother Brian is preaching, and then Brother Royce will finish off some of the thoughts concerning some basic tips for the family. And hopefully, this morning's lesson will not come across too philosophical. I really don't like it, but sometimes that is necessary. I'm more of a, let's look at this text, let's look at this context, and so I'm going to do my best to try to be as balanced as possible as we talk about working on communication in the home or in the family. And so this is something that all of us can work on, all of us can consider. And I was considering over all of the years, how would I approach this? How would I look at this? How will I communicate this? And I was thinking about, well, what is one of the things that is so important for all of us? For mankind, for human beings, for Christians. And it caused me to think about peace. And so for this reason, Hebrews 12, verse 14 was read in our hearing by our dear brother, Brother Luke. And so we'll consider that and we'll look at that, because when we think about peace, which is the absence of hostility, the absence of hostility, that's something that all of us should be pursuing. All of us should be pursuing peace. And I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul would say on one occasion to pursue peace with all men, and as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men, with all people. And so sometimes when I'm talking to those even outside of Christ, they're just looking for peace. They don't want chaos and confusion and unrest. And when we think about peace, we think about tranquility. We think about that which is opposite of chaos. And so the Hebrews writer would say in a very eloquent way, in verse number 14, chase it. Run after it. Pursue peace
Now, notice what he says. With all people, copulative conjunction, a word that adds two things of equal value together, and holiness, that which is free from unholiness, that which is not right, that which is not on par with God. Now, notice what he says here. Without which no one will see the Lord. If a person is not pursuing peace, they can't see God. And so it's important for us as we're working on communication, as we're working on the home, it's important for us to chase it, to run after it, to pursue it. Because if we're not, then we're pursuing chaos and confusion and unrest. And so it's going to take a lot in order for us to work on this communication, if you will. So a few things that caused me to think about this was the wisdom factor. Now, I need y'all to stay with me. I'm going slow on purpose because usually I'm coming out the gate running. Ecclesiastes 3, the first 8 verses. We're not going to read that for time's sake, but there's a time for everything. And the older I get, the more I understand when old people used to say when I was younger, son, slow down. There's a time for everything. Just because I can say it or do it right now doesn't mean that it should be done right now. Said right now. Perhaps there is a more convenient time, a time that will exercise more wisdom, if you will. And so pursuing peace in the home and the family should be a priority. However, we understand that peace comes with a price, and that price is sacrifice, discipline, and holiness. It comes with that price. And so a few things I want us to consider by way of introduction. Number one, we have to first, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 13, have peace among yourself. I got to pursue peace within me. Kipton, you with me? You got to be peaceful. You got to have peace in you. Because if it's chaos and unrest and confusion in you, then you're going to take that with you. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, you can take a bear out the woods and put him in a zoo, he's still a bear. And so if I don't have peace within me, then I'm going to bring that with me. Number two, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11, notice what the Bible here communicates to us. Very powerful. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. One translation says, become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Now notice the fruit of this. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Now the reason why I bring this up is because when we consider what is in me, if I'm going to be a good communicator, and I'm not talking about orally, I'm not talking about speaking from the pulpit, I'm not talking about as I go and deal with the world, I'm talking about those in whom we should be the most vulnerable with, the most transparent with. I'm talking about those in our own home, our family. I'm not even talking about in-laws who sometimes are outlaws. I'm talking about those in your house. Because there is a deference, there is a preference, there is a inclusion, rather, in my house that those on the outside, although they are blood, they don't get the same communication. And we can tighten it up even more. There is communication that I have with my wife and that a wife has with her husband that they don't even have with their children. and cousins and uncles and so forth and so on. And so we need to have peace among ourselves. We need to be working on being complete, being a people of good comfort, people who live in peace, people who understand that they can be a peaceful people. I wish I had time to really deal with all of this, but I don't. I have it. If you want the notes, you can have it. You can have them. But I really want to get some points across and take my time. And I want us to consider communication, because sometimes when we think about the difficulties and the beauties of communication, it's really under the umbrella of time. It's under the umbrella of time. I made massive mistakes in communication at home because I didn't allow certain things to develop because I thought I saw something that I really didn't see. So it's time. But then you can allow that to unfold, as Brother Nicholas would say to me all the time in the back when he was here. It's like, Mike, sometimes you just got to let things unfold. And then as you let them unfold, you say, oh, I did see that. But I reserve comment to allow it to unfold. Now you can't get out of it because I saw it. I saw it coming. And sometimes you can call something out too early, gives individuals opportunity to deny it, and then it never comes to fruition. You got to be careful. That's a good concept when you're dealing with people in the world, because they're liars. A lot of them just plain liars. And so they'll deny things. But when you let it unfold and then everything lines up, you got all the evidence, you got the paper trail. Next thing you know, no, this is it because of this, this, this. You can't deny that. Oh. Y'all stay with me, because this is all communication, and we communicate a lot. And so we want to talk about what is communication, because the Bible has a lot to say about what is communication. The Bible has a lot to say on why is communication important, and the Bible has a lot to say on how should we communicate. So what is communication? Communication is the process of conveying or putting forth information, ideas, or feelings through, watch this, verbal, nonverbal, or written means. Things that we do every single day. And so when we think about verbal communication, we're talking about that which comes forth from the mouth. The only way I can know what's in my mind or what's in your mind or someone else's mind, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11, Brian, they have to say it. They have to express it. But then you got the nonverbal communication. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 16. He says, by their fruit you know them. You see it. And so let's say somebody calls you out because you're just doing so good. Well, you can't deny that. Man, you're just a good person. Well, why are you good? Because of this, 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 and you did this, this, this. And I've been watching you over a span of time, and you're pretty consistent. But then the opposite is just as true as the good. The opposite is just as true. So if something is a pattern, you can't get beyond the pattern. You can't get beyond the pattern because fruit don't lie. And I think about what Jesus said as relates to, I believe it's Luke chapter 19 and verse number 11. Let me make sure that's it, because it just left me. I think it's Luke 19. It might be Luke 21, 19. Just thought about this. By your patience can possess ye your souls. No, that's not it. Matthew 11. I know that's it. It's important that I make this point. I'm just talking to you right now. In Matthew 11, yeah, there it is, verse 19, Son of Man come eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now watch what Jesus said, but wisdom is justified by her children. How do I know that the wisdom that I'm using is either from above or from below? Look at the children. Look at the results. Look at the fruit. And so I say that because when we think about communication, what is it? Well, it is the putting forth information, ideas, feelings through verbal, nonverbal, or written means. But why is communication important? It's important because it serves purposes like informing, expressing feelings, and influencing others through persuasion, and it involves a sender, a message, and a receiver. And so when we think about communication, friends, we communicate all the time. We communicate all the time. And so when we think about the aim of communication, the goal is to create understanding. And it made me think about Proverbs 4 and verse number 7, where the Bible teaches us that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all thy getting, get an understanding. Friends, if we're not communicating, especially in the home, for understanding to be grasped, in order for the husband-wife relationship, the parent-child relationship, or whoever's in the home to be effective, then why are we speaking? Then why are we speaking? Because if what I'm saying is used to hurt Evelyn, then I don't need to say that. I don't need to do that. Whatever I say, whatever comes forth from my mouth, it should be to the edification of my spouse. The edification, the building up of my children, and vice versa. Shouldn't let our children get away with just saying anything to us. Rather, to one another. Why? Because all things are supposed to be for edification. Well, does that mean we don't correct? That's edification. That's building up. So communication is so important. As a matter of fact, when people miscommunicate, and we have these different terms today, well, you know, he didn't lie, it was misinformation. I wonder about that. Is that a new term for saying, well, I know he didn't tell the truth? Well, the Bible has something to say about that too. And so these are just things we need to keep in mind. So how should we communicate? Well, there are different ways we need to communicate. We're going to get in the Bible here. And that's why, Brian, I was thinking, like, man, this is very uncomfortable, but I understand. And it's interesting that sometimes when we think about how we're communicating, some of us think we're the best communicators. Well, even the one that's speaking to you is not all that good. But you got to get better at it every day. And the reason why? Is because as you grow, learn, and develop, things are going to change in your mind. Things are going to change in your life. This is why we have to read the scriptures. This is why we have to get into the mind of Jesus. To get into the mind of Jesus is to get into the mind of God our Father. And then you'll learn how to communicate. You'll be one of the best communicators because you'll get to see how he dealt with things. And so how should we communicate? Number one, we ought to be effective in our communication, which literally means that we're producing effects of quality. We ought to be clear and complete. Clear and complete in our communication. We need to be accurate and pointed. We need to be truthful. John would say in 1 John 2 and verse number 21 that there is no lie of the truth. There's no such thing as little white lies. There's no such thing as telling a half truth. Either something is true or is not true. That's it. It can't be both. Well, you know what? Yeah, I told him this, but it wasn't the truth, but I did it for a greater cause. No, we're not talking about situational ethics. We're not talking about that. Well, the situation, it determined the ethic. No, sir, no, ma'am. If you are asked a question, either answer it truthfully or don't answer at all. Because when you stop and think about it, when one is operating in deception, it's actually leading someone down a path that they wouldn't have gone down if you would have told them the truth. That's why God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God, our Son. God, the Son, said that. So, accurate and pointed, truthful. Communication should be to the benefit of the receiver. And sometimes communication is silence. For Solomon said that even a fool is counted wise when he keeps his mouth shut. And so, I want to say this, and I thought this was interesting. All of these we see Jesus doing. All of these we see Jesus engaging in. Jesus was effective. He was clear and complete. He was accurate and pointed. He was truthful. And when he spoke, it was for the benefit of the receiver. And at times, Jesus said absolutely nothing. He said nothing. yet communicated a lot. So what are some ways we can communicate? Or what are some ways that the Bible demonstrates communication? Well, of course, we said verbal. You remember in the beginning when God said, let there be light, Genesis 1 and verse number 3, and things just started taking place. That ought to tell us something, that when we speak verbally, be careful what you say, because what you say, things begin to take place after that. Be careful what you say. In the home, let's be careful what we say. Let's think about what we're saying before we say it. So in Genesis 22, in verse number 6 through 8, we have Abraham and Isaac, and they're having this conversation, and Isaac asks Abraham a question. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? That was a clear question. Abraham, he answered precisely, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb. That was true. So when we're asked questions, especially by those in the home, our answer needs to be straightforward. It needs to be speech that is not leading someone astray. And we ought to use words that convey a message of truth and honesty and transparency and uprightness. And so we see verbal communication taking place. And friends, all of us speak. All of us use verbal communication, but we also use nonverbal. And we probably use nonverbal more than we use verbal. Because when I think about nonverbal, turn to Genesis 26. I thought this was a real good example. And I'm using this in two ways. I'm using it to demonstrate a nonverbal point, but also to perhaps even help some of the husband and wives in here that may have drifted apart some. And that's just the truth. That happens. It happens to the best of us. It has happened even with Evelyn and I at times. It happens. You got to be careful during those times. Because you get to drifting apart, things drift in. Be careful. Young people, be careful. You're not going to have too many people be transparent like this. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful when you start drifting apart, spend too much time away from each other. Be careful. Be careful. Well, Brother Mike, why do you keep saying that? Because it's real. Be careful. Because next thing you know, you got things creeping in. And next thing you know, folk are creeping up on a come up. And then you all messed up. All right? Look at Genesis 26. Look at verse number 8. We see something taking place that's kind of cute, if you will. Has some intimacy. And looking at it from Abimelech's perspective, he's just looking at something here that's very powerful. Young people, consider. So let's start at verse 6. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For she was afraid, for he was afraid to say she is my wife. Because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah. Because she is beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac. One translation, Brian, says sporting. Another translation says showing endearment. That's very interesting. Showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Some nonverbal communication that he's seeing. He's sitting there, he's playing with his wife. You know, it's all right for husbands to play with their wives. Amen. It's all right for you to joke with your wife and laugh with your wife and have a good time with your wife and vice versa. It's okay. It is very okay. You know, sometimes it's the nonverbal communication that leads to better verbal communication. Amen. Y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? There's some men never show any nonverbal communication with their wives in a positive sense. If it does, hey, baby. Christians, don't act like that. Don't act like that. Don't do that. Wives, don't do your husbands that way. In Matthew 21, 28 through 31, nonverbal communication. There's a lot that can be said. And I've been looking at a lot of resources and videos on things like this. And it's interesting what human psychologists, what they pick up on. And it's pretty consistent. Like, you can tell when two single people like each other. They demonstrate it in a certain way. Their body language shows a certain thing. Eye contact. Haphazard touches. Softened voices. That happens when you're married too. Be careful. Be careful. And the things that I've been learning, I see it. I'm not saying I don't see it at home, but I see it. And friends, we've got to be careful. So Brother Hannah, he's not here today, but he sent me a video, and I sent it to the elders. And the video was about podcasters are the new elders. You ponder that. Church is not even going to the leadership, Noah. They're going to the podcasters, to the influencers online. Perhaps because they're not hearing stuff like this from the pulpit. But they're hearing it out there. And so the pulpit is trying to keep everybody in the pews, keep everybody happy. And the podcasters are out there telling it like it T.I. is. And the church is not only dwindling in spirit, but they're dwindling in their practice. The numbers are up, but the pulpit's not saying much. So in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31, very interesting here. We see some nonverbal communication going on. Jesus speaking, but what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted and he went. Then he came to the second, said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? The more I thought about this, the second one, well, he spoke one thing, but his nonverbal action said it all. Young people, y'all look at me real quick. Y'all look up, look up. When your parents tell you to do something and you don't do it, you're saying a lot. You're saying a lot. Perhaps you forgot. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We'll tell you again. But if you do it again, we already know you're rebelling. Parents, that's rebellion. Why? Because they know to do something and they're not doing it. That's rebellion. You got to be able to see that. Parents, you got to be able to see that. And the reason why I say that, because many teenagers are already on their way to hell at a teenage age. So when they get to college, they're just going to go fulfill what they've been thinking for the last 5 years, sitting in the pew. And then what you'll say, and I've heard it all the time, well, I brought him to church all the time. He was in the youth group and he was all the Bible studies, but he was dead in the water on the pew. Maybe, perhaps, he was rebelling in the home and you didn't catch it. We got to pay attention. There's nonverbal communications. When your child is not doing what you say and it is consistent, they are telling you, I don't want to listen to you. Be careful. So, verbal communication, nonverbal communication, but then there's clear communication. Don't have time. Daniel 3, verses 15 through 18. There's the command, fall down. And when you hear the instruments, the sounds of the instruments of worship, you need to fall down and worship. And we have the Hebrew boys, and they say, we will not. And not only did they clearly communicate that they were not going to do that, they didn't do it. So not only was their communication clear coming forth from their mouth, their communication was clear coming forth from their actions. Because we could say something, Evelyn, and do something totally different. That's not clear communication. As a matter of fact, that leads to the next point. That's deceptive communication. And this is where I want you to turn to 1 Kings 13, verses 11 through 19. I'm going to drop this off as I'm flying by. You have Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And here they had a land, yet they were trying to please themselves and please the people, saying that, well, they gave so much, but they lied about it. So, in other words, they were leading the people down one way, but they were going a different way. Friends, we can't communicate like that in the family, in the home. And so in 1 Kings 13, verses 11 through 19, you have a lying prophet. And God told the man of God, I want you to go into the city. I need you to go preach my bidding. Don't eat, don't drink, and go out a different way. And guess what he did? He did exactly what God said. Until the false prophet came, hunt him down, told him that the angel of the Lord came and he spoke to me and told me to tell you to come back. And do the very thing that I told, thing that God told him not to do. Friends, God is not operating that way. And you know what happened? That old false prophet was lying. That man of God was listening. He did what that false prophet said. And there was a lion waiting on the street. Watch the lie. Watch the lie. So I say that to say this. There are four communication styles. And you have to ask yourself, where do I fit? Number one, you're either assertive in your communication. Now listen to me. You're either passive. You're either passive aggressive or you're aggressive. Or you might have a little bit of all of it in you. Assertive, meaning that you are clear and you want the receiver to benefit as well as you. Passive, meaning that, well, you're not clear and you'll sit there and take the loss even though you know it's not right. But then passive aggressive, and many people are right here. You have one thing in your mind, but really this is about you. This is not about the person that you're talking to, but you're looking for opportunities to gain over them. Watch yourself. And then you got those who are aggressive. They'll cut your throat and won't even think nothing of it. And sometimes I had to examine myself. I could be a little bit of all of them. Which one are you? But then you got Jesus, who's perfect. And he was always assertive. And if he was passive, he was perfect in his passivity. And if he was passive aggressive, he was perfect in that too. And if he was aggressive, he was perfect in that too. Huh. Guess what we're always striving to do? Get that balance. It's tough. So, I'll give you an example. Jesus was assertive with the woman at the well. I am he. He was clear. When Christ comes, he'll tell us all things. I'm he. Not only did it benefit her, it benefited him. Why? Because he knew that she was going to go and tell. And she went and told, and people came back. It benefited him. He was able to talk, able to lay the foundation work for Samaria, even stay in the house and communicate more with the people. It benefited him and benefited them. Friends, when we're communicating, let's be more assertive. Let's tell people where we are. But remember the time aspect. There's a time and place. So Jesus was very assertive to the blind man, to Mary and Martha, as he is crying at the grave of Lazarus. Friends, there's so much more we could say about that. So what are some ways we can work on our communication? Well, we can listen more than we speak. Sometimes our listening is coupled with what's already going on in our minds, and we don't stop to listen to what's really being said. If I already think that whoever's in my house is going to be going one direction in their speech, then I already know where you're going. Shut your mouth. Let me tell you this. Hear it out. A fool answers the matter before it's heard. These are biblical principles. You can't get around them. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. Man, he keeps saying the same thing over and over. She keeps saying the same thing over and over. I understand. I'm married. I am. You ain't going to get no more transparent than this. If I get in trouble, I just get in trouble. I understand. Amen. Okay? We get it. Well, there's a God in heaven, and I always hear what you have to say, and sometimes you come to saying the same thing all the time. And he'll tell you, shut up. He'll tell you, be quiet. He hears you out. And then we have the nerve to say, oh, our God, he's so patient and long-suffering. He deals with me. But you won't deal with your spouse. Or you won't allow your spouse to deal with you. I know it's philosophical, but it is what it is. And when you start to listen, one thing that I know about people, not just males, not just females, we just want to be heard. Hear me out. Don't interrupt before I finish talking. One thing that women can't stand is when a man interrupts her. Yeah, you might be there 20 minutes. But I got Bible for that. You need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. If she's one of those that it takes her 20 minutes to say three things, fine. You married her. If he's one of those people, those guys, like, man, he got to outline every single point. You married him. Listen. But the opposite is just as true. He may want to express himself, and so he gets you this, and he listens to you, and he buys you this, and he just pampers you. Oh, you don't have to do all of that. You married him. That's the type of person he is. He's sentimental like that. But then you got those, well, they express their love by just taking care of you. Hey, when I tell you that I don't love you no more, you'll know. I mean, you got those too. You married him. Well, I want him to be like this. Well, you married the wrong one. And one brother said one time, he said, well, so what do you do when death do you partake too long? You hang in there. That's what you do. Man, we're talking about communication. We're talking about the home. I'm telling you, you got to learn how to listen. And once you say, I do, you did. So, young people, watch who you marry. Vet the family. Vet the friends. Vet yourself. That doesn't mean that they can't change or won't change later on. You can have the wrong person enter to the life of your spouse, and it will change the trajectory all day long. But at least you go in there knowing you did your homework. And so learn to listen before you speak. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is important. I'm done. Communication in the home has to provide opportunities where one is not shut down before the communication is completed. That's one thing I love about Grape Street, 9th and Main. We may have conversations in Bible class that you got differences of views and people are bantering backwards and forwards. Fine. That doesn't mean we're enemies. We love one another. And just because I say something don't make me right. And just because I say something don't make me wrong. And sometimes husband and wives treat each other that way. Don't do that. I need to hear Evelyn out, even though I might not agree with nothing she's saying. But I want the same care too. Because then at least I can go in my room as I'm playing, or go outside and play with my cutlass a little bit. Sitting there playing with my cutlass. Like, you know what? Now I got to go in there and tell that girl she was right. But at least she heard me out. Well, that's one of the hardest things. Because now you got to spend 3 hours outside just to figure out how you're going to say it. Now you come back next month and I'm preaching, you ain't going to hear preaching like this. Because it's uncomfortable for me. But it's effective. Because it's practical. And this month is practical tips for the home. Communication. And people, if you're not right, go back inside and tell your spouse you was right. The respect factor shoots through the roof. It does. And just like with us and our great God, that's why he sent Jesus. And when we fall down on our knees after we realize that we wasn't thinking right. We didn't say the right things. We didn't do the right things. Father, I'm sorry. I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Get the moving. So he removes the sin, he removes the guilt, and you just keep it pressing. But you got to have an environment in the home where people can talk and express themselves. And the church is the same way. I've been to congregations. No, you hush your mouth. It's not going to go that way. Why would I want to be around you? Because I can already guarantee you, when it really gets serious, you'll cut me off and won't think nothing of me. Been there, done that, in it right now. Y'all do whatever you want to with that. But that's how husband and wives do each other. That's how siblings do each other. You can't do each other that way. Just had a brother in Christ told me something just the other day. Remember we was talking about this years ago, 15 years ago. I finally saw what you were saying. I just said, to God be the glory. But what if I'd have cut him off 15 years ago? But that's how we do each other. It's not right. And husband and wives cut each other off. And it's interesting. I'll say this, and I'm done. We got walls. We're going down the hallway. And one is cleaning one wall. And the other one's cleaning the other wall as they're going down. Y'all will get that when you get home. Because you're mad at each other and won't communicate. And then you bring it here. You take it to your job. Let's not do that. Let's communicate properly. If you got an issue, got a concern, you have a problem, talk about it. If you have something good and uplifting that you want to say to someone in your home, say it. Don't wait till they're in a box and now everybody is saying things like, I wish I would have told them that. Say it right now. Give them their flowers now. And so we need to choose to respect one another. And we need to be honest with each other. And all this is for the purpose of Hebrews 12 and verse number 14. Pursue peace. Do you want peace? I want peace in my house. I don't want chaos. I don't like it when my wife and I are not seeing eye to eye. I can't stand it. It causes me to cry. It breaks me down. It bothers me. But there's some people, they don't care. I care. I like peace. I like to go home and things are peaceful. Hey, what you been doing today? I love just, let's talk about it. Let's get back on track. And I don't like when people try to interrupt our peace. I don't care who it is. Hold on, God's the same way. That's why he sent Jesus, Ephesians 2, 11 through 15, to bring peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. And guess what? He made that peace, and now Ephesians chapter 3, you got the manifold wisdom of God, Jew and Gentiles in one church. That was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Peace. And anytime people start interrupting that peace, God is upset. No, get along with each other. Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's why he's doing that. We ought to do everything that we can to be a peaceful people. Not just at home, but here. Not just here, but in the world. And this is why we take the gospel to the world. What gospel? The gospel of peace. Tranquility between God and man. Well, Brother Mike, you don't understand. You know what? You're probably right. Because sometimes I don't even understand me. But I do know this. He ain't lying. I might. But he's not. And then one day I'll grow up in that area of my life and I'll say, you know what? I was causing all that chaos and unrest in the house for nothing. All because I didn't get my way. That's because I didn't grow up in that area. People, we have to grow up. Let's talk about it. But Brother Mike, you don't understand. I know. Let's just talk about it. You got a problem with your brother? So just go talk about it. 9th of May will be the greatest place you'll ever attend if we just learn how to just talk. And that's one thing we do around here. We talk. We might not agree with each other on everything. That's fine. Because I don't agree with me on everything. I don't. I'd be like, boy, you stupid. Why are you thinking like that? I'm telling you how I don't call my wife. That's me calling myself that. And maybe I learned it from Royce. I spend a lot of time with him. That's how he talks. Brethren, how are you communicating? What are you communicating? Why are you communicating it? Is it for the purpose of peace? If it's not, take a step back. Pursue peace and holiness by which no one sees the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. The lesson is yours. Holy God and Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, you're a great God, for you were thankful. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the examples that you have given us in your word. Pray to Father for this congregation, every home represented, whether it's a family unit, widowed, divorced, single, whatever unit it is, Father, pray that all of us will work on our communication, how we plan to convey messages. Help us to not be selfish. Help us to truly look out for the best interest of others. And Father, if this lesson was not according to your pleasing, we apologize. Never want to be philosophical, but we do want to get the point across. Father, we ask that you be with our families. Help us to be united. Help us to love each other, to pay attention to one another, and to communicate the best message possible for the quality of great effect. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for his love. We're thankful for the way that he communicated. We're thankful for his righteous indignation, his great judgment. But Father, we're thankful that he brought peace. And we know that if we follow him, we'll have that same peace. We ask the Father that you forgive us for our shortcomings and help us to be faithful, to be long-suffering. And if we need to, Father, help us to repent and start over so we can have the most peaceful life as possible as we dwell with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want to sit down and study with you. We want to share the gospel with you. That good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will, he'll wash away every sin. He'll add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. We don't take that back because the Bible doesn't take it back. We mean that because the Bible means that. I want you to be in the right location, with the right mindset, with the right hope. Maybe a child of God and you haven't been communicating well. As a matter of fact, you think your communication is the best. One thing I've learned, you can always improve in your communication. The reason why is because Jesus was the greatest communicator on the face of the earth. He always communicated well. We're just striving to be like him. So we're begging you, we're pleading with you. Communicate. Communicate well. Be an effective communicator. Be clear. Be complete. Brother Chad, as we stand.